Thank you, gentlemen. As the song was being sang, I can't help but ask if you were thinking what I was thinking. God, give me that vision. Give me that vision. Strengthen that vision. A passion for souls. I wonder if you have a passion for souls this morning. You know, when you read the old-timers, and by the old-timers, I'm simply referring to men like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Dwight L. Moody, Charles Finney, men of that caliber. When you read about them and then you read after them, some of their material, you find that they took a position that if you're saved, it is a priority in your life to get others saved. If it's not a priority in your life to get others saved, there's a question mark on if you're saved. Now, I'm not ready to say that. I'm just telling you what the early church believed. You go back in the book of Acts and you'll find that these people had a passion. They would stop at nothing to get the gospel out, to get people saved. And then you go back to yesteryear, to some of the men that I just referred to, and you see that they had the same outlook. I wonder what our outlook is today. I wonder what your passion is today. What is my passion? We've been talking here out of 1 Thessalonians, and I told you that I really believe this. A lot of people, when you read after a lot of people who are Bible students, who give themselves to the study of God's Word, they say, for the history of the church, go to the book of Acts. I don't think anyone can deny that. If you want the predominant doctrine of the church, you can go to the book of Ephesians. Now, that's not to say that you can't get Bible doctrine out of the other Pauline church epistles and the rest of the scripture. But if you want the practice of the church, you turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. What an ideal congregation. You know, the more I study the book, the more I am inclined to believe that statement. What's a church to be? And I've asked you to ask this question, am I a part of the right church? Do I belong to the right church? So, preacher, we can lose some people that way. Well, you know what? We ought to gain some people that way. We ought to be doing things the right way. Amen. Amen. Now, you say, what is the right way? Well, the right way is the Bible way. Amen. The right way is not just a preacher's way or some family in the church's way. The right way is the Bible way, God's way. Well, who makes that determination? The Scriptures, the Word of God. When we looked at this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we noted just some things about this church, just right here in chapter 1, that, well, it's what a church ought to be. Number one, he mentioned in verse number 4, their election of God. He said, you know, church ought to be full of saved people. Amen. Now listen, if lost people come to church, we welcome that. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'm glad you're here. I trust you'll listen not just to this preacher's voice, but you'll listen to that still small voice in your heart, which is the Holy Spirit of God, and you will allow Him to speak to you about your need of Jesus as your Savior. You know, not only were they elect of God, but notice what the Scripture says, that they were saved, but also it says in verse number 5 or verse number 6, they were surrendered, they became followers, not only of their leaders, but it says, and of God, and of the Lord. You know, a church ought to have people that are willing to follow the Lord. Amen. Follow the Lord. And they were not afraid to follow their leaders. You know why? Because following their leaders was so close to following the Lord, it was kind of one and the same. They followed their leaders as their leaders followed the Lord. And then he said in verse number 6, the last part, he talked about much affliction, suffering. You know, can I tell you that the getting of the gospel out, trying to get people saved, getting the gospel out, it's always, listen, the spread of the gospel has always brought about some affliction. It's always brought about some persecution. And you can't run and hide from that. Amen. You ask God for boldness. We heard it Wednesday night. You ask God, God, help me to be faithful in the face of adversity. Help me not to shy from that. Help me not to be silenced by adversity, but give me boldness. Help me to maintain my faithfulness. Amen. See, that's what the church ought to be. Saved people make up the church, brethren. Surrendered people. If you're saved and surrendered, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's almost like there's a trend here, right? You know, you get saved. If you're truly saved, you're going to find a place of surrender. You get saved, you find a place of surrender, persecution's coming. If you think the world's going to stand by and let us serve God and proclaim the name of Jesus and sit by idly, you've got it mixed up. And then he said not only that, he said in verse number 7 and 8, he said a church ought to be a soul winning. This is where we're going to settle in a little bit this morning. What's a church ought to be? Well, a church ought to be involved in soul winning. You know, one of the things that's really, as I review this, you go back to Acts 17, and we'll not do it today, but I trust that you've done that, and you've gone back and seen where Paul, you know, the Spirit of God led him through Thessalonica, and he was there for 3 Sabbath days, and he reasoned with them out of the Scripture, open and allegedly gave them the Word of God. He went into the synagogue to the Jews, and then they were many of them that got saved, but they were a host of pagans, of idolaters who got saved by the grace of God. And these people got on fire for God. Rather, the church ought to be on fire for God. Yeah. A church ought to have a passion for souls. A church ought to be getting the gospel out. A church ought to be soul winning. I don't see where they set up and somebody's going to leave the church today and say, well, our preacher said he didn't believe in soul winning program. And I didn't say that. I'm just saying I don't see where they're setting one up. They just went soul winning. You say, well, you know, well, Saturday at 10? No, every day. they just began to win souls. We'll see here in just a moment. They just told everybody everywhere they went what Jesus had done in their life. I mean, it was spreading like wildfire. In so much that Paul said, we don't even need to speak. Man, people are, they're talking about what's going on down there in Thessalonica. What's a church ought to be? A church ought to be where the community is saying, hey, there's something going on down there at Fellowship Baptist Church. Those people are on fire. They're excited about Jesus and what Jesus has done in their life. And they think that every person ought to have Jesus in their life. I believe that, do you? Amen. I believe that Jesus is the answer to everyone's life. Yeah. So I don't believe that. Well, then there's a disconnect between you and what God says ought to be. And then he rounded out in verse number 10 and he said, you know, a church ought to be a group of people that's looking for Jesus to come back. And so I think that the Apostle Paul just lays it out right here when he's writing this letter back to these people and he said, my goodness. He said, when I was there, I saw some things that just really, it really encouraged me. But since then, I sent Timothy to you when I was down in Corinth and Athens. And he said, Timothy's come back and told me what's going on down there. And he said, my, it's encouraging. You people are on fire. By the way, that's the way every church ought to be. Every church ought to be on fire, brethren. You say, we waiting on the preacher to get on fire. Don't wait on me. Amen. If I'm not on fire, you get on fire and maybe I'll catch on. Amen. Get on fire. So how do you get on fire? Well, we're going to talk about that some. What happens when a church gets on fire for God? Gets excited. I'll tell you the first thing that happens. It won't be. Now listen, don't leave here and say, well, the preacher said you shouldn't say amen. Oh, listen, everybody ought to say amen at least once. It feels good. See, told you. Feels good to say amen. That's a heavenly word. That's even a word that Jesus has named. He's named the Amen. It feels good to say amen. But don't say it to just anything. I remember one time a man was preaching, and he said something like along the lines of, you know, he's going to die and go to hell. And somebody said, amen. I thought, well, actually, that's not a good place to say amen. You know, you might ought to hold that one for a better time. So what's going on here? What's going on? Are you a part of the right church? Well, let me ask you this. Are you helping your church to be the right thing? Are you a part of these things? Are you helping get people saved? Are you surrendered the way the Bible teaches that Christians ought to be surrendered? Are you accepting the suffering that God is bringing in your life? Are you moaning, complaining, grumbling about everything that goes wrong in your life? That's not accepting suffering. That's not accepting affliction and trials. Are you a soul winner? Do you have a concern for people? Are you trying to get people saved? Are you looking for Jesus to come back? See, it wouldn't be right for me as a pastor, and it wouldn't be right for you as a member of this church to expect these things out of the church if I'm not willing to give to it to help it to be that. We are the church. Amen. And so if we're not going to be this way, the church is not going to be this way. Amen. Today is Missions Emphasis Sunday. And as I was praying about God, what would you have me preach? He said, I want you to stay right here in 1 Thessalonians. Because this was a mission-minded church. These people got it. They got it. They became followers, and they understood what God expected of them. Sometimes if we're not careful, we come to church to see what we can get out of it, when what we really ought to do is come to church and see what we can contribute and give to it. What can I do to help this church be all that God wants it to be? Is that the attitude you have? I hope that it is. Let's see what the Bible says here. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 6. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the places of their mission. The sphere. You know, I don't want to get narrow-minded here. And I don't want Fellowship Baptist Church to get narrow-minded. So, well, you know what? Me and my wife saved, or me and my wife and children are saved, and so we're good, preacher. We're good. Oh, listen, you're missing out. You're missing out. See, God's put a world vision in my heart. I want to see people everywhere get saved. I think everybody deserves to know this Jesus that I trust. And so the scripture says that these people, notice what it says here in verse number 6. It says, you became followers of us. Now, I believe that this is saying their life, okay? But I think what Paul was saying here really, because I'm getting ready to go down into verse number 7 and 8, he said, I see that you're doing what we did. You got the gospel out. Amen. You didn't keep it to yourself. Paul didn't keep it to himself. Amen. I need somebody besides two people to say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And if you. Hey, we're the church. God has expectations of us. We get to be a part of this great thing called missions, evangelism, soul winning, getting people saved, changing people's lives. What a wonderful thing that we get to be a part of. I'm glad that God has allowed me to, and notice if you would in chapter 2, notice if you would in verse number 4, he said, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. What a wonderful thing, church. Thank God. We have been allowed of God and he's put us in charge. He's put us in this ministry of getting the gospel out. That is the primary purpose of a local church. Get the gospel out. Get them saved. Then train them up. Why? So they can go out and get some more saved. Amen. That's what the Word of God teaches. And if you're not a part of that, you're missing out on what God's purpose for saving you is all about. Yes, he's going to, it's just part of him conforming us to the image of his Son. And what does that look like, preacher? Jesus went about trying to get people saved, changing people's lives. So I just want to be more like Jesus and love people. Well, be more like him and love them and try to get them saved. See, that's what the Bible teaches. You look here in verse number 6, and he said, you became followers of us and of the Lord. These men, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they were interested, they were concerned, they had a passion to see people saved. Jesus, the Lord, he had a purpose, he had a passion to see people saved. The Son of Man came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, you see. Then he said, you did it. You received the word in much affliction. Didn't slow them down, right? Didn't stop them. Say, well, preacher, I'd win souls. I'd get involved in missions. I'd get involved in this or that if it wasn't for this. Didn't stop them. Didn't stop them. As a matter of fact, if you'll just skip down, and we'll get to this eventually in detail. In chapter 2, he said in verse number 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our interest in unto you, that it was not in vain. He said in verse number 2, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know. Now listen, either they heard it or Paul told it, maybe both. You know what happened in Philippi, he said. You know how me and Silas was locked up, put in stocks, beaten for the gospel's sake? Didn't slow them down, amen. Not Paul and Silas. And when I read this, I see that it didn't slow these Thessalonians down neither. It did not slow me down, and it ought not slow you down. There's going to be some persecution. There's going to be some setbacks, some opposition. It's just going to happen. But I'm here to tell you this morning that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. We still have a commission. We still have a mission to carry out. We still have an obligation to get the gospel out, brethren. And so he said here in verse number 6, he said, you did it in much affliction. He said, but you did it with joy. I wonder who they got that from. You think they heard that when Paul and Silas was down there in the jail in Philippi, that they were singing songs and praising God? I think they did. And I think they took a note from that and said, you know, persecution ought not get us down and get us down in the mouth and down in the dumps. When we're going through hard times, we need to sing praises to God and receive it with joy. You know, when you receive the bad with joy, it helps you to do the good with joy. So not only did they receive the affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, if you look down in verse number 8, it says they sounded out. Sounds like they were enjoying it. You know, soul winning is not done. Sharing the gospel is not done through clenched teeth. Man, we have a great message. I don't have to go out and tell people, hey, listen, there's a God who wants to take everything from you and wants you to give your children to be burned in a fire. I can tell them that our God loves them and that he sent his Son to die for their sin, and that they would trust what Jesus has done for them. If they would place their faith in Christ, they can be forgiven of all of their sin, all of their sin. And God has a purpose for their life that would bring fulfillment in their life. Not only is there part of us, what a wonderful, wonderful gospel is the gospel of Christ. And so he said here, he said, I want you to know that you're following, you're running well. And he said, you're becoming samples. Look at verse number 7. To all them that believe. He said, the churches around you are looking. I wonder if we're a part of the right church. I wonder if the churches around us are saying, you know what, they're doing it scripturally down there at Fellowship. See, we ought to be in samples to all that believe that this is the way God said do it. Amen. Amen. Now, thank God we're not the only one, but I'm glad for the churches that are in samples, that are an example of what God said do when it comes to this thing called the gospel. Get it out. Say, well, I done told my family about it, preacher. What other obligation do I have? Well, I want you to think about this, as I said, the sphere, the places. Notice what he said here in verse number 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia. I'm going to change the scripture here. Just for example's sake. Not only in Madison. Not only in Madison. Thessalonica was in Macedonia. And he said, you're not just sounding it out in Madison. That's where you start. Is that right, brethren? Acts 1:8. You shall be witnesses unto me. Both, Brother Randy says. I agree. Both at the same time. You start in your Jerusalem, Madison. Right, brethren? Get the word out. You say, preacher, lead us. No, you go, let the Spirit of God lead you. You go and tell somebody about Jesus. That's what they were doing. They were just getting the word out in their Macedonia. Our Macedonia is Madison. Is that right? Amen. They were following the biblical model. What's the next thing? Not only in Macedonia and Achaia. That's Judea and Samaria. Somebody said that's your neighbors and your enemies too. I don't, could be. Jews and Samaritans, they just didn't have a whole lot of dealings. I just believe it's surrounding areas. So take it to Orange too. Take it to Rappahannock. Take it to Culpeper. Take it to Green. Take it to Albemarle. Sound it out, he said. Get the gospel out. They need to hear it too. Amen. Is that what he's saying, brethren? Is this what the word of God is saying about this church? It is. Wow, they were excited. They're like those disciples. Remember back in Acts chapter 4? When they brought in Peter and John and they said, hey, listen, you guys are going to have to stop this stuff. Enough already. Cut it out. They said, we can't help. Amen. They had a case of the can't help it. We just can't help it. I just got to tell people what Jesus has done in my life. Is that what the word says? See, this is what a church ought to be. This is what you ought to be. This is what I ought to be, because we are the church. This is what they were. This is what they were. They were sounding it out. You see it there? They were sounding it out, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But notice what he said. But also when where? Looks like the uttermost parts to me. Everywhere. Is that what he said? Everywhere. And he said this. He said everywhere. But also in every place your faith to God was what? Spread abroad. This was a mission-minded church. This is too. I think we can check that box. Now, could we do more? Yes. Will we do more by the grace of God? When I look at this chapter, I'm just as transparent as I know how to be with you, brethren. I want to see, do we line up? Because it's easy to think one way when it's really another. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning that if we're not careful, we'll think because we know something, we're doing it. We'll think that knowing is obedience, and it's not. It's knowledge that should lead to obedience. I wonder if we're doing what God said do when it comes to being what a church should be.
Come on, bro.
Are we? Well, let's see. We need to check ourselves, not by what the preacher says or some other evangelist or some other preacher says or what some other church does. Brethren, we want to see if we line up with this book right here.
Amen, bro.
Is that right, brethren? Amen. Yeah, I think you're on the same page with me. Oh, listen, I understand. I understand it's Sunday morning. Probably stayed up late last night. Shame on you. You knew Sunday was coming. Get in bed early. So you can be aware and awake and alert and hear what the Bible says. Why? Because you're going to give answer to what you hear today. You're going to give an answer. You're going to give an account to God. And the Sandman in the form of some demon is going by trying to get you to sleep and trying to get you to think about dinner and all kinds of stuff. Maybe you're looking for someone to take out and you're looking across the church and saying, well, what's her name? You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, hold it. Well, the devil gets you thinking about all kinds of stuff.
Amen.
We need to be thinking about this. Are we what we ought to be? Are you in the right church? Are we being what God wants us to be? Especially when it comes to this thing, to missions. Do you know what missions is? Do you pray for missionaries? Do you give money to the missions program? Or do you just have a little bit of a knowledge that the Bible says something about getting the gospel out, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, something like that? Don't be one of those kind of people that expects the church to be something you're not willing to be. You are the church. So, well, I just don't know about it, preacher. I just don't know. Ask some questions. What is missions? What does the Bible say about it? How can I be a part of it? Where should I start? Right? Don't just sit by in ignorance and say, well, you know, I'll get around to that someday. No, no, no. This church, from the very inception of it, from the very beginning, brethren, there was a starting place. You see verse 8? From you sounded out. From you. The church that he was writing to, from you sounded out. When you study the structure, and I'm not trying to be all grammatical here on you, from this sentence here, it means there was a starting point. Where was that starting point? Well, if you'll get on down to verse number 9, he talked about it. It's when you turn to God from idols. When you get saved, you start sounding out this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. You start telling people what God has done in your life. And you start telling them what God has done for me, he'll do for you. That's what these people were doing. I mean, they just went everywhere telling everybody. They couldn't find anybody that shouldn't be told. Everybody was a candidate. We're just going to start telling everybody everywhere what Jesus can do for their life.
Amen.
I'm glad for that. That's what you do when you get saved. You say, well, I've slowed down some. I don't tell hardly anybody about Jesus anymore. You're backslid.
Yeah. Amen.
You're backslid. Listen, wake up and smell the roses. You're backslid. If you're not telling people what God has done in your life, let me tell you something this morning, brethren. I'm not being ugly or mean here. I'm being straight. When we have the message that we have, what a message we have. This message that we have doesn't need to stay pent up in here. Man, this is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The message that we have changes people's lives. What do you mean, preacher? It changed my life. It changed your life if you're saved. It changes anyone's life that will trust it. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. And we don't need to keep it pent up inside the four walls of a church building. We don't need to keep it inside into a select group of people. Jesus said, take it to the marketplaces, amen. Take it to the highways. Take it to the hedges. Take it to the streets. Take it to the lanes. Take it to Macedonia. Take it to Achaia. Take it to everywhere. Everywhere you go, tell somebody that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. What a wonderful, listen, you spin this thing around and around. There is, listen, bump, they need to hear it. They do too. Hey, all people need to hear this message. What a message we have. It's global, brethren. It's global. What Jesus has done in my life, what Jesus has done in your life, what Jesus has done for the residents of Madison and Orange and Culpeper and Rappahannock and Green and Albemarle, Jesus will do for people around the world. Amen. He's no respecter of persons, but somebody's going to have to sound it out. And I'm glad I can be a part of that. I am. The sphere. He said, take it. I like this. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6. You see right in the middle of that verse there, having received the word, that's where it begins now. You got to receive it now. You know what happens when you start receiving the word? Listen carefully. Verse 8. You'll sound it out. You're not going to sound it out till you receive it. But when we begin to receive it, we'll begin to sound it out. You keep receiving it and receiving it for long, your heart will get full and it'll just come out of you. Amen. You'll just have to tell somebody how great Jesus is. You'll just have to tell them. Can't help it. You'll just tell them. Let me tell you what Jesus done for me. You say, well, I don't know how to talk to people. Well, you just tell them what Jesus done for you. Worked for our author here today. Worked well for the Apostle Paul. Amen.
Amen.
It'll work for you too. It'll work for me too. The sphere. Just get the gospel out. I want you to notice, you see that word sounded out there in verse number 8, that phrase, for from you sounded out. That means it heralded forth. It's like blowing a trumpet. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not talking about tooting your own horn like the Pharisees did. Let me tell you about Fellowship Baptist Church. No, what we need to be doing is telling people about Fellowship Baptist Church's Savior. Amen. It's the Savior, brethren. It's the Savior. The church can do very little to change a life. Now, thank God for the church. I'm glad I'm a part of it. I'm glad that we can come here. But it's the God of the church. It's the Savior that changes lives. And so we don't want to be tooting our own horn now. The Pharisees did that. We want to blow the gospel trumpet. Amen. Yeah. So there's the place. Our places, the sphere. You say, well, are we a part of the right church, preacher? I don't know. I think we are. I look back and I see just a small representation of where the gospel is being preached around the world, that thank God we get to partner with some of these people. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
Are you investing in this program? Are you giving toward this? You say, well, I'm not. I don't know how it works. Get with one of us. Get with myself as the pastor. Get one of our assistants. Get with Brother James. Find out what missions is about. It's biblical. This is not something that man came up with. This is God's program. And he wants the church to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, he's left us as ambassadors, as representatives, to get this message out. Well, let me give you a couple more things, and then we'll be through on this Mission Sunday for this morning. And I'm looking forward to tonight. So there's a sphere. You know, we want to get the gospel out. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's in Bolivia, Greenland, Pakistan, Thailand, right? Cambodia, South Africa, Peru. By the way, when I heard that fella, you know the way that guy sounded when he was speaking that language today? You know how you felt when the guy in Greenland, remember the language he was speaking? That's the way I felt when I was in Peru. You know, I see some of you looking like, huh? Well, huh? I told one guy, I said, man, these people sound, it's not like they're fussing me out. Guy come up to you, somebody come up to you, and they'll say something like, and I'm not making light now. And I'm thinking, man, he just rebuked me. And I said, what did he say? And he said, that was a great message, and he loves you. I'm thinking, wow, I don't think I got that. I mean, it looked like to me he was saying, you make me sick, and I hope you never come back to Peru. I mean, just the tone, you know. But it's just, when I saw that language up there, I just thought, my goodness, that's wonderful. John 3:16, and that language, that's wonderful.
Amen.
Man, I'm so glad that the Spirit of God can move on people and all people groups can hear, as they did on the day of Pentecost, the wonderful works of God in their own tongue. What a wonderful thing. I understand there's people groups that don't have it, and God help us to be a part in some way of getting them the gospel in their mother tongue. God help us to do that. Well, what's the purpose of it, preacher? Well, look if you would in verse number 8. He said they didn't only do it in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. He said your faith to God were to spread abroad. Look at this. So that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us of us what mannering of entering in we had into you. He said, we don't have to speak anything. Everywhere we go, people's coming and saying, wow, man, what went on when y'all was in Thessalonica? Isn't that what he's saying? Wow, what happened? Something happened to Dale Freeman. What got into Dale Freeman? The Holy Ghost. Amen. David Oliver's life has changed. What got into David Oliver? The Holy Ghost. Well, David Thompson's not the same. What happened to him? The Holy Ghost. Amen. See, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. And you get excited about what God has done in your life, and you start telling other people. And Paul says, you know what? Everywhere we go, there's people talking about you guys. And there's people talking about what's going on down there. Notice what he said in the latter part of verse number 2. He said, so that we need not to speak anything. He said, I don't have to tell them how we came unto you. He said in verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what mannering of enter in we have. He said, they're telling us what went on down there. You know, it wasn't too many people after a while started having to ask what happened to Dale Freeman. I was telling everybody what happened to me. That's what they were doing. We ought to be telling everyone what Jesus has done for us. You say, oh, preacher, that happened 20 years ago. You ought to be just as excited to tell them today as you were 20 years ago. I told you that said, when it says sounded out, it means it had a starting point, but it's still going on as Paul wrote this letter. Yeah, it started when they turned to God from idols. It starts when you get saved, but there's no ending place to this. There's no ending of sounding it out. You don't put in your work and say, well, that's it. I've done my duty. No, this goes on. Listen, it just gets sweeter as you keep telling people. Just seeing Jesus change lives, amen. Changing lives. See, that's the need of this old world, brethren. Hear me. Please hear me this morning. We have the solution. So I thought the Republican Party did. No. No. I thought the Independents did. No. I thought the Democrats did. No. Jesus has the solution. And he's given us that commission. God help us to have a compassion and a passion about this mission. Let me close now with this. Final thought. There's some places all around the world I want to be a part in getting the gospel out. I want Fellowship Baptist Church to be, and that's us, brethren. We are Fellowship Baptist Church. If you're a member of this church, we want to be a part of getting the gospel around the world. And then, too, the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to get people talking. You say, what? Oh, yeah. Talking about what? Jesus. Amen. See, I want Jesus to get all the glory. You'll never convince me that what was going on right here in Thessalonica, that they were talking about Paul, Silas, Timothy. No. They were saying, let me tell you about Paul's God and what he did in my life. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about him, what he's done for us. What he'll do for you. He's changed our life. Did Jesus change your life, my friend? Did he really? Did he? You say, I'm not interested about that. It's because he didn't change your life. If you're saved, Jesus changed your life. And if you're not, you need to be. And if you don't get saved, I'm compelled to tell you this. You will die in your sin and go to hell. I want you to know that now. You will go to hell if you do not get saved. But you'll have to trample over the blood of Jesus to get there. and the gospel message that you've heard preached from this pulpit probably more than once. You say, well, it doesn't matter to me. It will when you get there. He said, how do you know? Because I read about a man who went there and he didn't want to be there. He actually cried out for mercy and said, have mercy on me. And when he found out that he couldn't get out, he said, please send them back to my brethren's house. Don't let them come to this awful place of torment. So don't believe the lie of the devil now. Don't do that. What's the power of it? I said this is going to be my final point. What's the power of it? Notice in verse number 9, he said, for they themselves show of us what mannering of entering in we had unto you. Here it is. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's the power of this mission. The power of this mission is the power of changed lives. You know that account in the scripture that I told you about where James and John were there at the Gate Beautiful and they healed that lame man? And the Bible says they called him in and they said, listen, you're going to stop this. You're going to stop this. We're not going to put up with this. You're going to stop this preaching in this name. And they said, we can't help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. And if you'll read either before that or right after it, it says that when they looked, they saw standing beside them the man that had been lame. There's no defense against a changed life. We can talk about Jesus, listen, till we're facing the blue in the face. It's like the man said, you show me a redeemed life, and then I will be inclined to believe your Redeemer. They didn't just receive the message, they received the messengers. Read it carefully. It matters how we live. It matters what we do in life. It matters, brethren. It matters. So while you're talking out one side of your mouth, telling people what Jesus can do for them, they're looking to see what he did for you. How they turned to God from idols. While I'm telling people what Jesus can do in their life, whether it be standing up here or standing in the line at Walmart or standing in or sitting at a table in a restaurant, they want to know what Jesus did for me. They turned. Have you turned? Have you made that turn? That word turn means about face. It's a word that's closely associated with repentance. You'll never get saved until you repent and place your faith in Jesus Christ. And when you do, now listen carefully, you will turn from something. Once you turn, notice it again in the scripture, they turn to God from idols. So there's a turning to God, and as you turn to God, to something, you turn from something. You understand that, right? This is the power of this message. It's the power of a change of life. Oh, how I thank God you can stand to your feet. How I thank God that I have seen it over and over and over again. The change life. The change life. There's no defense against the change life. They can want to debate us about the scripture. They can want to debate us about this and they can debate us about that. But I'm going to tell you something they can't debate. Is the power of a changed life. This is a great, great message that we have to declare to others. This is a great, great mission that we get to be a part of. I'm glad I'm part of the team. I'm glad I'm a part of a group of people who want to be scriptural. We want to be what the church ought to be. And I don't know that we could be any more like what God wants the church to be than to get involved in this thing called missions. But it starts at home. It starts in our Jerusalem. And then it spans out from there into to surrounding areas. And then it goes to the uttermost part of the world. Isn't it wonderful? to watch as we saw Wednesday night, as we saw again this morning, as we'll see again tonight, as we see often here at Fellowship Baptist Church. It doesn't matter what color your skin. It doesn't matter what nationality, what ethnic people group. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what financial bracket you're in. It doesn't matter whether you're north, south, east, or west. If you are a human, Jesus is the answer. And he will save you by his amazing grace. I'm glad I can tell everyone, everywhere, that truth.